online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. In this bulletin, the Housing Minister is urging people affected by MICA to engage with the redress scheme as quickly as possible. Minister O'Brien was in Donegal for the day. The Justice Minister says Gardaí will be called as a last resort if people refuse to wear masks inside shops or shopping centres. The government's been advised against using temperature checks to detect COVID-19 at airports. HICWA says resources could be put to better use. The Irish Cancer Society expresses concern after it emerged health officials warned it wouldn't be possible to get cancer care back to normal while social distancing measures remain in place, and two arrests in Derry after attacks last night in the Gallia area. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the Minister of Housing, Dara O'Brien, who was in Donegal today, and he's urging people affected by MICA to engage with Donegal County Council and the redress scheme as quickly as possible. After opening a number of housing schemes across the county earlier, this afternoon Minister O'Brien formally launched the MICA redress scheme at a function in Buncrana. He said the priority now is to ensure that all those affected apply so the scheme's aims can be realised as quickly as possible. He spoke to Michaela Clark.
I have met the MICA Action Group before I became Minister. In working with Deputy Charlie McConnell, who's now a minister, and others right the way through, is that, you know, we want to see good our commitment, the commitment that we made to the families here in Donegal and indeed in Mayo. And we've done that today, where I've been able to tell people that this will be a multi-annual programme. The money is committed this year. It will be committed next year. I have experience of these type of remediation schemes, as I said earlier on, when I was talking to residents with the pyrite scheme. And these schemes evolve, and they do require, you know, multi-annual, because only so many houses you can do in one given year. So it's in the programme for government. It's a commitment, and I wanted to get here to Donegal today to tell people face-to-face that we're going to see good this commitment for them.
And obviously this is the start of the journey, so there may be some issues, as you did highlight, coming. So you are committed to working through them with everybody.
No scheme finishes the way it started, and that's my experience with another major remediation scheme. It always evolves, and it evolves through that. What I've asked people to do here today is to engage with Donegal County Council, to work through that with them. There may be issues that occur. When issues occur, we look to resolve them. But we need to get more people applying into the scheme. We need to get a handle on how many people are affected. I've seen that in my own county, where people didn't present to the scheme for 8, 9, 10 years after the scheme was launched. You know, so that's something we need to do. But obviously these things evolve, and it's a priority for me. We want to give people their lives back.
And that was the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, who was in Donegal today. As we said, the Minister has committed to more social housing projects in the coming years. He opened a number of projects in the county earlier. And also today, the Minister confirmed almost €1.7 million allocated to Donegal in the form of housing adaptation grants. It's the biggest allocation in the region. The money will assist older people or those with a disability to carry out necessary works to make their homes more suitable for their needs. The Justice Minister says Gardaí will be called as a last resort if people refuse to wear masks inside shops or in shopping centres. Face coverings will be mandatory in retail settings from Monday. The government is hopeful that law enforcement will only be needed in a small number of cases, as has happened with rules around masks on public transport. Minister Helen McAtee expects retail workers will engage with customers who aren't wearing face coverings.
The retail outlet or the shopkeeper would go to extents to show that and to put up perhaps signs to say that masks need to be worn on the premises. Secondly, that if a person enters without one or remains inside of the premises without it, that there would be engagement between them and the retail, either the owner or the person working in the shop. And then as a last resort, that an Garda Síochána could potentially be called.
The government has been advised against using temperature checks to detect COVID-19 at airports. The health watchdog HICWA says thermal screening would pick up less than a fifth of those with the virus arriving here. The Oireachtas COVID Committee yesterday recommended all passengers arriving here have their temperatures checked. However, HICWA's Maureen Ryan says resources could be put to better use.
The international evidence would suggest that it's not an effective means of detecting individuals of COVID-19 and not an effective means of limiting onward transmission in the context of being quite high cost and resource intensive, and that healthcare professionals would perhaps be better utilised in managing other aspects of the pandemic, such as involved in complex contact tracing.
Well, 43 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported today in Northern Ireland. It's a big increase on recent days. Public health officials say there are 11 active clusters. No new deaths have been reported for the 24th day running. Health experts say the North's coronavirus reproduction rate, or R number, is now likely to be above 1. The current estimate is between 0.8 and 1.8. A new campaign to encourage safe behaviour to avoid COVID-19 in the Republic has been launched. It features posters by illustrator Fatty Burke, highlighting, among other measures, hand washing, face coverings and physical distancing. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says the authorities want to reinforce basic public health messages following the recent rise in cases here. The New Look poster campaign is primarily aimed at those commuting, socialising and shopping. The government is to treble its investment into the back-to-school allowance and allow parents on the pandemic unemployment payment apply for it. 115,000 families benefited from the scheme last year at a cost of $53.7 million, rising to just under $153 million this year. 274,000 people across the country are currently receiving the payment. Health officials are warning it won't be possible to get cancer care back to normal while social distancing measures remain in place in hospitals. A briefing document for the Health Minister expects the HSE could need an extra €1 billion this year on top of the €2 billion already being spent tackling COVID-19. The report seen by the Irish Independent warns of lengthy backlogs for patient treatment and reduced cancer services. Just €6 million of the planned €46 million has gone into the National Cancer Strategy so far. Irish Cancer Society Director of Advocacy Rachel Morrow says it's causing cancer patients distress.
The full impact on outcomes of not investing in cancer services will probably take years to be fully uncovered. But the immediate impact is that people are very worried about getting diagnosed and treated on time. And we're hearing that on the National Cancer Nurse Line.
There were four people awaiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, three of them on emergency department trolleys. Nationally, 123 patients were awaiting beds today, the largest number 31 at University Hospital in Cork. Police in Derry investigating incidents in the Gallia area of the city this week have made two arrests. Two teenage boys aged 14 and 15 were detained in the city this afternoon on suspicion of riotous behaviour and attempted criminal damage. The 14-year-old was also arrested on suspicion of possessing petrol bomb in suspicious circumstances and throwing a petrol bomb. Both remain in custody this evening. Well, police came under attack with petrol bombs in Derry again last night. It followed a day of violence on Tuesday in which several vehicles were hijacked. Officers were responding to a security alert on Skake Road in the city last evening when they came under attack. Police confirmed a number of youths were involved in the disorder. They urged residents in both the Skake Road and the Gallia Park to remain indoors for a time. Meanwhile, a security alert ended last night with an object examined and declared an elaborate hoax. Local councillor Aileen Mellon has hit out at those responsible.
It's an absolute disgrace that people are being terrorised and do not feel safe in their own home and their own community. But I am appealing for calm in the area tonight, and I call on those responsible to stop this reckless behaviour and get off the community's backs. My thoughts are with those impacted by these attacks and the people of Gaelic who are crying out for this activity to stop. Gaelic is a proud community and we're really proud to be from here, and we will not be dragged down by the actions of a minority who are hell-bent on destruction.
A new wind farm has been given the green light on the outskirts of Letterkenny. The farm is a joint venture by SSE Renewables and Quilche Renewable Energy. With more detail, here's Trevor Keegan.
The proposed Llanlia wind farm is in the rural upland setting of central Donegal, approximately 8 kilometres southwest of Letterkenny. The provisional results of the first round of Ireland's new renewable electricity support scheme, published yesterday, are subject to Irish government approval, with the final results due in September. The development, which will comprise 7 turbines with a maximum tip height of 135 metres, is expected to enter construction in 2021, ahead of delivery in 2022-23. When complete, it will have an installed capacity of 30.5 megawatts and will generate enough low-carbon renewable energy to power 20,000 homes annually and offset 24,500 tonnes of carbon per annum, contributing significantly to Ireland's 2030 renewable energy targets.
The medical school at McGee College campus in Derry has been given general medical school approval and can start recruiting now for both staff and students for September 2021. Ulster University confirmed the breakthrough today with prospective entrants urged to apply via the UCAS system. Professor Louise Dubras, who will be part of the team welcoming the medical students onto campus next year, says it's a major step forward for the college and for the region.
What's happened is we have had confirmation from the UK General Medical Council that they are confident in us as a university, and confident in our state of readiness, and also confident in the local environment, the finances and so on, to commit themselves to quality assuring our medical degree program. So this is just fantastic.
And fantastic news too for the entire Northwest region. I'm sure from your own perspective it will have far-reaching benefits.
Very much so. We obviously, this is about training doctors, and as we all know from waiting lists and difficulties in getting to GPs, doctors are in short supply in this part of the world. And although we can't guarantee where our graduates are going to stay, there's good research to show that if you train doctors in an area, they will tend to stay and work there. And actually also, particularly when you take graduate entrance, that they are more likely to become GPs in that area. And for anybody who's listening who struggles to get to GP appointments, this is just fantastic development for us and for patients.
And that was Professor Lise Dubrather speaking to Catherine Gaffney. Bus Éireann has confirmed it's begun trialling a reservation system on Route 32, which links Letterkenny with Dublin via Tyrone and Monaghan. It follows complaints from several people in Monaghan after they were unable to board buses because they were already full. That's largely because of the reduced capacity because of COVID-19. The issue was raised by Monaghan-based Senator Robbie Gallagher, who was told the online booking system with guaranteed seat reservations went live on the route late last week. Bus Éireann also said travel should be limited to essential journeys, particularly during peak times. Senator Gallagher says it's something all prospective passengers should be aware of.
If you were somewhere in Monaghan, or indeed anywhere in Donegal, and you wanted to book Route 32, then you could book your seat as and from the 29th of July, and you'd be guaranteed your seat. From some of your listeners there in Donegal who would use the 32 to get to Dublin, it could have repercussions for them in that they may straddle on down as far as the bus depot in Letterkenny, thinking there'd be no problem getting a seat, but to be told that seat was booked by somebody from Monaghan, let it be Castlegaine, Carrickmacross or wherever. Absolutely. If it's available to the people of Monaghan, it's also available to the people of Donegal as well. So just to make people aware of it, Dolan, I suppose if they want to guarantee their seat, the safest way of doing so would be to book that seat online.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
5:15, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Dolan. We're going to start with golf. What's become this year's first major, the PGA Championship, is underway at Harding Park in America. Shane Lowry is level par through his first three holes. Rory McIlroy is one under after he's just completed the first hole, heading to the second. And the early leader, the very early leader in San Francisco, is Scotty Scheffler on two under. The likes of Tiger Woods, one under, heading for the second. And Brooks Koepka has just completed a second hole, and he sits at plus one. In soccer, Sligo Rovers have signed Lithuanian defender Stagatos Elberkas. The 23-year-old joins from Maltese club Senegali Athletic, as Lithuania is currently on Ireland's green list. He does not have to quarantine for a fortnight upon his arrival. Well, Rangers need to produce a miracle if they're to reach the Europa League quarterfinals this evening. Stephen Gerrard's side are 3-1 down, heading into the second leg of their last 16 tie away to Bayer Leverkusen. Chelsea's target Kai Havertz is likely to feature for the host tonight. Rangers boss Stephen Gerrard says they'll be going all out to try and make it into the last eight.
We know our fans back home will be supporting in the numbers, and hopefully we can give them a performance to be proud of. We know the deficit that we're chasing, but the plan to try and start the game on the front foot and try and score the first goal and try and make it an interesting tie.
That game kicks off at 5-6, as does the one-leg meeting of Sevilla and Roma. Wolves and Olympiacos are level at 1-1 ahead of their second leg at Molineux from 8, while Basel hold a 3-0 first-leg advantage over Eintracht Frankfurt. Liverpool have reportedly made a £10 million bid for Norwich left-back Jamal Lewis. It's believed the relegated club won't entertain offers below £20 million. Liverpool are said to have offered Norwich a substantial sell-on clause for the Northern Ireland international. Meanwhile, Alexis Sanchez's unsuccessful stint at Manchester United is finally over. He's completed a permanent switch to Inter Milan, the side he spent last season on loan with. Sanchez managed just 5 goals and 45 appearances for United, and manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says it's a good deal for both clubs.
Alexis enjoyed his time.
For me, for him to finish in the top four, you know, to do that.
Move for him, wish him all the best. He's a top player that we want to see play his best football. For whatever reason, we didn't see the best of Alexis.
Take credit for, obviously, you know, they didn't win the cup to put the icing on the cake, but...
Premier League clubs have voted against retaining the 5-substitution rule for the upcoming season. Following the resumption of the top flight in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, teams were allowed to make 5 changes during matches to support player welfare. Some clubs wanted the new regulation carried over, but the Premier League has confirmed it was voted down. Ireland rugby head coach Andy Farrell says that James Lowe will be part of his plans for this autumn. The Kiwi will become eligible to play for Ireland at the beginning of November. But Farrell's hinted that Lowe is not quite the finished article when it comes to stepping up to international rugby.
He's a big guy. He's strong. He loves getting on the ball as much as he possibly can. He comes off his wing. He's hungry for the ball. He doesn't like getting tackled that much. He's got a great left boot, and he's good in the air as well. You know, he can play. He's a great all-round player. I'm sure that he thinks that there's parts of his game that he needs to improve, and hopefully we can see him in top form and putting his hand up to push for claims for the Irish jersey.
In snooker, Stuart Bingham has turned a 5-3 deficit into a 7-6 lead at the World Championship second round in his match with Mark Williams. On the other table, Yang Batua leads Judd Trump by 3-2. Earlier, John Higgins recorded just the 11th maximum break of 147 in Crucible history today. The four-time champion levelled his second round match with Kirk Mafflin at 8 frames apiece. And three-time champion Mark Selby ended the morning session 5-3 down to surprise package Nippon Sunkim. Finally, just looking ahead to this evening here in Highland, the Score programme will be on air after the 7 o'clock news. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne to get his thoughts on this coming weekend's Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship Round 2 clashes. While Cathair O'Kane will look at what's happening in the Derry Senior Football Championship. And there will also be a look at the League of Ireland in what is a busy week for Finn Harps and Derry City. We'll be speaking to Dublin-based sports broadcaster Enda Cobb. That is on the Score programme tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you, Washi. And it's now 5:20, and it's time for Farmers News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about farm retirement schemes and the various options available. But first, plans are underway to introduce electronic tags for cattle, and this could have cost implications. Barry Cassidy is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been telling me more.
Yes, so for farmers, I suppose, we're well used to tagging cattle and the requirement to tag every calf born and the cost associated with that. But I suppose one thing that the department has kind of muted that it's planning on looking at in the next couple of weeks and months is, as you say, electronic tagging. Now, I suppose the thing with these electronic tags is that they are, do come at a higher price given the technology required to operate them. So the estimation on a single tag is anywhere between €1 and €5. And €1.11 extra compared to your conventional tag. So what we're talking about here is an extra 2.6 million in costs on top of what already are, I suppose, quite hefty and tagging requirements on farmers. But I suppose that's what's required under our traceability system.
Well, it's been well flagged. We know this has been coming down the track, and I suppose it's just an evolvement of the way the system works.
Yeah, well, I suppose that we've seen it maybe last year. The sheep sector moved to a full electronic system, so they're the first sector to get there ahead of the cattle. And we've seen for farmers there has been a cost associated with that, and that's estimated in the region of 2 million, with every lamb requiring an electronic tag at a cost of about an extra euro as well. So we have it's not a standalone incident. And we've seen in Scotland either as an example of one cattle industry that has moved to a full electronic system. And I guess, look, what the department is saying is that there will be benefits associated with a move to electronic tagging, whether that's better traceability, more ease for the likes of Marks and factories to read tags, and a move away from, I suppose, the traditional blue passport and the paper trail system we have at the moment.
Yeah. And are we expecting any potential technical blips, or do we think everything should be pretty much okay?
Yeah, well, I suppose the technology that's associated with electronic tags has been around for quite some time. A lot of farmers, and I suppose maybe not a lot, but the number of electronic tags has been on sale has been on the rise over the last couple of years. So farmers have embraced this technology. I mean, we've seen it particularly on the likes of, say, robot farms, where the tag can be reading with the machine, or we see it in calves as well, particularly calf feeding systems, where the feeder is registered with the tag. So I suppose it's an established technology. It's not a thing of a new technology being implemented. It's more a wider rollout of an established technology, if it does come. As the department says itself, it's in the preliminary and early stages of this move. No, there's nothing set in stone yet, and they want to do a series of consultations with the industry before they make any further moves.
Now, in recent weeks, you've been doing a series of articles in the Irish Farmers Journal in relation to retirement and what's on offer. And you've been sounding out the opinions of farmers themselves and some interesting feedback.
Yeah, well, I guess it comes on the back of comments made to us by the European Commission that it's willing and open to funding or allowing the Irish government to put together a retirement scheme as part of the next CAP, if it so wishes. So I suppose we've been taking a look at maybe previous schemes, what people are doing elsewhere. But I suppose this week, as I say, the particular focus has been on farmers themselves. So we sought feedback from a number of farmers, and I suppose we had a very, very strong response. As you might imagine, it's a topic that that a lot of people have been discussing for quite some time. And a number of different trends did come back. And I suppose, unsurprisingly, one of the main ones was the rate, I suppose, of payment or how it would be paid. I know we've seen last time around it was a rate of 15,000 for a year for a maximum of 10 years. I suppose the feedback coming from farmers here is that they'd like to see a substantial amount more than that, and that's ranging anywhere between 16 and 31,000. Other people suggested maybe a different approach, and rather than a payment per year, it could be a lump sum for a farmer in order to incentivise them to move out and kind of hand over the land. And one farmer suggested a rate of €1,000 per acre. But I suppose when I discuss those payment rates, it's unsurprising to see that if you were to spread it out over a number of farmers, it could be quite expensive quite quickly.
And it's difficult to, I suppose, assess what is the typical farmer in this regard, because different people will look at it in completely different ways.
Absolutely, and that's something that's really come back to me when I've discussed this with farmers, and various farmers have gotten in contact with me. Everyone's situation is different. In some cases, it might be a young farmer looking to get in. In other cases, it's an older farmer who has maybe a successor identified, and they're just looking for the support they need to make that transfer. And then in other cases, there's farmers who have no one identified. But as you say, every farm is a different scale, different size, with a different requirement, and everyone themselves has a different living cost as well. I mean, a lot of people make the argument that we have a lot of farmers stay farming or maybe move to a more part-time role and hold on to their payment because that's what they require to live. The pension simply isn't substantial enough, or they mightn't have a pension there to support them. So they are required to carry on. I suppose the argument made for a retirement scheme is that that would allow them to step back. Of course, then there was the concerns on the other side, where some farmers felt that maybe channeling supports to people who are only retiring in name could be a challenge as well. So I suppose there's arguments both for and against and a retirement scheme. So I suppose it's a matter of trying to cut through all that and make a decision on it.
And ultimately, like so many people in the private sector, the main bit of advice is if you're doing a private plan, to start as early as you can.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same as anything. You know, the better, the earlier you start into it, and the earlier you do it, the better you are. And I think that comes the same on even on this type of retirement scheme. If we look at it, you know, someone made the point that there's so much discussion around it at the moment, and everyone's kind of holding on to wait and see what's going to happen. So I suppose a decision on this earlier rather than later would be beneficial for everyone. As I said, certainty never goes amiss in these things.
And I see reference has been made to farm safety. We had the recent National Farm Safety Week and tying it in with the UK. But again, to encourage maybe people to retire younger and to have a good package there, there is a certain connection here, because I see in the last 10 years, 43% of all farm fatalities have been farmers over the age of 65.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a very tragic incident in any case where there is a farm fatality. I suppose, you know, when you just look at raw statistics, it doesn't really hit home until you think, consider the family and the associated people around that. But farming is, I suppose, one sector where people tend to work on past retirement age. And it's a sector that's probably, it's quite physically intense, and, you know, people often work alone, and there's a lot more risks associated with it than others. So, and, you know, a number of farmers who got in touch with us, did make the point that health and safety was a major concern for them, and that they would like to see a way that older farmers could be allowed, if they wished, to take a step back and maybe remove themselves. I mean, we've seen earlier this week already, you know, another incident of a farmer in his 60s tragically killed in Cork. So I suppose as long as that is a feature of Irish agriculture, the calls will come for it.
And finally, if you haven't thought about a retirement scheme, it's never too late to start the conversation, and there is plenty of expert advice out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think that's something else that maybe could be looked at rather than a retirement scheme. It could be facilitating maybe a more of a succession planning scheme. I mean, there is money there in place for farm partnership grant. And I suppose though, if that grant is to support the maybe talking to a solicitor, or talking to an accountant and getting the partnership up and running. But I guess maybe one thing that could be happening is that could be expanded into more of a wider service, to provide a place that farmers can go and have that conversation, because it is a difficult conversation. I mean, you are talking about someone who's farmed maybe for 50, 60 years of their life. It's pretty much been everything to them. And they're being asked to maybe take a step back and hand over to maybe a younger person who is eager to get started. But I suppose there's different needs and wants there. And I suppose having people in there in place who can talk through it definitely will help.
Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Thanks for speaking to us this afternoon.
Thanks very much, Chris.
This week, the Minister for Agriculture, Dara Cailleary, announced details of the Beef Finishers Payment, an Exchequer-funded scheme of €50 million to provide income support for up to 42,000 farmers with beef finishing enterprises who have been impacted by the economic effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The IFA President Tim Cullinan has welcomed the announcement. He says that it is crucial that the money gets out to farmers as soon as possible and that the full €50 million is spent. The IFA National Livestock Chairman Brendan Golden is encouraging farmers to apply once the scheme opens in 2 weeks' time on August the 19th. The scheme will apply to farmers who had cattle slaughtered between February the 1st and June the 12th, and it's expected that the payment will be in the region of €100 per head. The ICSA Beef Chairman Edmund Graham has given a guarded welcome to the announcement. However, he noted that farmers have to be either a member of the Quality Assurance Scheme or else committed to joining before the 30th of September. Factory-owned animals are not eligible. That's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And we'll take a look now at the weather forecast. Staying mostly dry for the rest of this evening with cloudy periods and some bright spells. Southerly winds moderate, occasionally fresh in coastal areas. Tonight, mostly dry to start with cloud increasing from the west. A band of persistent rain developing on the west coast later tonight, gradually spreading right across the region. Mild and humid, lowest temperatures 13 to 15 tonight. Mostly moderate southerly winds. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain slowly spreading eastwards during the morning. The rain will gradually clear to the east in the afternoon with some good sunny spells following. Highest temperatures tomorrow 17 to 19 degrees Celsius with moderate southerly winds veering westerly as the rain clears. Looking at the main stories this evening, and the Housing Minister is urging people affected by mica to engage with Donegal County Council and the redress scheme as quickly as possible. Minister Dara O'Brien spent today in Donegal. He launched the scheme and also opened a number of housing schemes across the county. Almost 1.7 million has been allocated meanwhile to Donegal in the form of housing adaptation grants for older and disabled people. The Justice Minister says Gardaí will be called as a last resort if people refuse to wear face coverings in shops or shopping centres. It becomes mandatory to do so in retail settings from Monday. The government's been advised against using temperature checks to detect COVID-19 at airports. HICWA says thermal screening would pick up less than a fifth of those arriving with COVID. Resources could be put, they say, to better use. Headlines at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 6th of August. The death has taken place of John Murphy, Forker, Milford. His remains will repose at his home. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. Rosary tonight, Thursday and tomorrow Friday at 10 o'clock. Funeral Mass and Rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/St Peter's Church Milford. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of James Jim Quigley, formerly of Whitecastle Quigley's Point. Funeral from the home of his friends Kenneth and Jenna Porter, Whitecastle Quigley's Point, tomorrow at 12:30, following a service of thanksgiving in Whitecastle Methodist Church at 12:45. Burial afterwards will take place in Greenbank Presbyterian Burial Ground. The house is private, please. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Comfort Fund, Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of Kenneth and Jenna Porter, Whitecastle Quigley's Point. The service is restricted to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place in San Francisco of Tracy Fullerton. Tracy's ashes will repose at the family home, 65 Marion Park, Buncrana, from this evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, Buncrana, at 10, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Cock Hill Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral will be restricted to 50 people. Funeral Mass will be streamed via webcam at churchservices/Cock Hill. The death has occurred of Jim Gallagher, Drimlochrid, Letchermack Ward. His remains will repose at Midlands Funeral Home in Dunloe from 6 o'clock this evening. Rosary at 9. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Mary Clerken, née McGrory, 6 Clunwerda, Buncrana, and formerly of Drummondderry. Her remains are reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home. Removal from there this evening at 5:45 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 6 o'clock, reposing overnight. Funeral Mass there at 10 tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral private to family and close friends only, please. The funeral will be streamed via webcam, accessible through churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. And the death has occurred of Michael Conboy, 37, Orchard Grove, Letterkenny, and formerly of Colooney, County Sligo. Michael's remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to immediate family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the churchoftheirishmartyrs.com website. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny.